Please enjoy this previously recorded segment.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm Tawny Alvarez, your host from Verrill, and today our guest is Shelby Turcott, owner and trainer at Shelby Trained. Today we're discussing how we, as human resources representatives, can help employees meet health-related New Year's resolutions. Hi, Shelby. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Tawny.
So Shelby, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Background a little bit. I was an athlete growing up. I was big into basketball. I'm undersized, believe it or not, even by basketball standards. I call myself 5'10 with shoes on. And, and I realized that training, even back when I started in the late 90s, was kind of a, it was a means to an end for me in terms of trying to play at the level that I wanted to. You know, fast forward, I went to college, and I knew I had some idea that I wanted to integrate, you know, performance training, fitness, health and wellness, all of that together. And I ended up getting an undergrad degree in sports management. Long story short, I got out of college. I did an internship right before I left college at a local fitness place, got a shadow a trainer, kind of started to enjoy that component of it and thought initially I wanted to own, you know, like a facility, like a big fitness facility, like a gym or something of that nature. I ended up actually going back in doing grad school and getting a master's degree in exercise science, realizing at the time that, you know, if I wanted to take the business to the level that I wanted to get it to, that I needed to have a little bit more maybe of a science background to try to maximize that. So despite the certifications that I had received already, I felt like, you know, higher education was kind of the next step for me. So I did that at the same time that I was running the business. Fast forward 16 years later, or almost 16 years later, this is the 16th year. And here we are, I'm on your podcast. Life is good.
Wonderful. Well, so we've got your background and we know that you're in the business of fitness, but what is Shelby Trained? Give our listeners who maybe haven't worked with you in the past, who aren't aware of your services, kind of what do you do or offer?
Yeah. So, you know, realistically, our kind of objective is to simplify health, fitness, performance so that people can improve the quality of their life. Like we, you know, a lot of people say it. I think if you chat with people who work with us, you know, we genuinely believe that what we teach in terms of the actions and kind of how we facilitate everything, that leads to long-term health and wellness, success in sports, success in business. You know, it all literally conveys and kind of pushes forward what we really believe is kind of like a, I hate to say, like a higher agenda, you know, and to your point, we believe in like a very personalized approach. That is something that I have thought since day one that, you know, we're always addressing the individual client's needs, you know, and so we've done it in varying capacities from in-person stuff that's like one-on-one kind of old school personal training, to consulting and small group and semi-private and group. And now obviously, you know, the remote online piece has come kind of to the forefront in recent times, but we've actually been working that direction for the past 2 to 5 years, really. We've been kind of transitioning over. So, you know, things have grown and evolved, but I think our core belief has pretty much stayed the same all the way through.
I think that leads to, you know, a question that you've kind of already answered, I think, but why create something new? I mean, I think a lot of people look at the fitness industry and they say there's a lot out there. There's a lot to offer. What led you to say, like, I want to create something new, or the other programs that are out there or models aren't what I'm looking for?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it honestly, you know, is again, it's an evolution of things in terms of kind of over time. I think one, I can think back to, man, at this point, it was probably 8 to 10 years ago. I started, you know, early on, you're trying to gain all this knowledge, thinking, right, like, knowledge is power and everything else. And so I go out and I get my master's degree, and then I get this certification. I go to this seminar, I go to this. And you acquire all this knowledge, which is great. And then you start to realize the application of knowledge is something totally different. And so as the business evolved, and at the same time, technology and the internet evolved, now people have access to information galore, right? It is in excess. And on the simplest terms, you know, health and wellness is literally move more and eat less. And, you know, we kind of operate on that foundation that if we could get people to lose weight, eat better, be more active, I firmly believe that if there's one common denominator amongst everything from, you know, in terms of preventable diseases and whatnot, it would be keeping people at a healthier weight, being more active and eating better. But that's not the roadblock for people, right? That's the bottleneck. And so, you know, 8 to 10 years ago, we were getting ready to have our first child. Up until that point, I had worked almost exclusively with athletes. And then I started working with adults. And at that point, obviously, my life is changing, our life is changing. And I started to see that the roadblock was much less about information and a lot more of, like, sifting through and kind of filtering out what actually needed to be used and then applied. And so it became a lot more of, I don't want to say dumbing it down, but it really became a process of, again, literally trying to help facilitate what was needed more so than the information piece. And so as we worked with people, we just kept saying over and over and over, like, man, we're seeing the same problems come about, whether it's exercise based, whether it's nutrition based. You know, we had a lot of discussions even with people about just life in general, which is one of those things you play as a, you know, a trainer, is part-time therapist. And so we started to see those kind of commonalities, right? And we began to recognize that, geez, like, the issue here is a whole lot more about, like, not what do we, you know, what does the information say or this or that, but, like, how do we actually implement it? Kind of was our transition.
Those are such great points, because I don't think that there's a lack of ability to access all those facts that you just said, right? That, like, move more, especially people in office positions who really aren't moving. And now that so many people are working from home, they're moving even less, kind of that, right? Park further away from the office so that you add those extra 15 steps isn't, yep, even something that's happening anymore.
Right. Right.
So everyone who's just joining us, you're listening to the HR Power Hour radio show. I'm your host, Tani Alvarez, and today we're talking to Shelby Turcott, owner and trainer at Shelby Train. Today we're discussing how we can help employees meet health-related New Year's resolutions. So Shelby, you and I, this isn't our first conversation that we've had, but specifically one of the things that we've talked about in the past is something that you refer to as a supplementation system. Can you explain generally what the supplementation system is? And I want to have just a general conversation first, because then I want to jump into the 7 distinct elements of the program and how that works.
Yeah, the supplementation system essentially is a health and wellness-based system. It's really built upon successfully implementing evidence-based actions into people's busy lives. And really what it comes down to is we started to find that, again, you know, and numbers are all over the place, but people don't move enough, right? People are stressed out more than they have been, and people are short on time. And so when we worked with people in particular from a nutrition standpoint, we started to realize that we needed to work kind of within their own lives, within their own context, and not try to fit them into a specific, you know, diet or something like that. Because, you know, great if, you know, the carnivore diet shows that it's the best thing for preventing cancer. But if people don't like meat, that's not going to work. You know, things like that. And so we started trying to find how we could implement, again, actionable goals or actionable items into people's daily lives. So we started to attach those to anchor points. And we have done it, you know, at this point with everything from nutrition to, you know, the fitness piece to, honestly, we've even worked a lot of times with young athletes in terms of developing and building confidence. We've chatted with people trying to work on developing business components or kind of navigate their way in life. So we've started to see that so much of the crossover from what we initially did more in kind of the fitness and exercise realm actually really transferred and crossed over to so many different places, you know, and we started to realize as we did it more that we were much more successful than a lot of the kind of traditional measures that people had tried to, you know, utilize or do on their own.
So many of the things that you just said really spoke to me, and thinking just to my own life and kind of my own experiences with health and healthy eating and fitness and attempting to be more active generally. I remember, you know, growing up in a household that was super frugal and going to the grocery store and looking at the difference between buying baby carrots and buying a whole bag of full carrots and saying, well, you could peel the carrots and cut the carrots and then you'd have carrot sticks. And it's going to cost you less than if you buy the baby carrots. But then a bag of carrots rotted in my refrigerator, because that's just not the life that I had, where I had all that time to do that food prep. And it's interesting because I think back on, you know, the last decade and how quickly it was easier to move towards, I don't want to say more prepared, but when grocery stores started offering, oh, look, here's pre-diced peppers, as opposed to the pepper that just sits there and starts molding, because for some reason, the idea of cutting a pepper seems like too much work at that moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, and we saw the exact same thing. And, you know, we had personally gone through the same thing on our own, right? Like in terms of owning a business and whatnot, and having kids, and my wife has a very professionally demanding job. And so we are super short on time and bandwidth and everything else, right? And so we always looked at it like we're trying to find ways to reduce friction for people, right? So we are trying to figure out where their bottlenecks were. And to your point, and it's funny because I just literally had this discussion yesterday with a client about the same exact thing. And it was, you know, my point was, hey, maybe you like this better or that better. You think, oh, I can only, you know, I can just get some vegetables and I can chop them up and I can prepare them easily. And then they're ready in advance. You know, like, that's great. What about the day that you don't have the mental bandwidth to do it? Something stressful happened at work, something happened in your personal life. You know, what's your kind of fallback on that? And so, you know, as much as I would love to say, you know, just push people over into consuming, you know, 5 to 10 servings of vegetables a day, for a lot of people, that's not realistic, you know, and hey, eat this, and this would be great if it was fresh or organic or whatever. It's like all these little roadblocks for people, you know, became, again, friction of trying to transition them. It was an all or nothing approach. And the irony in that is so many of the people that we started to see struggled with those same things. And oftentimes they came from, again, I hate to say, you know, good intention, but a little bit more of a traditional route in terms of approaching how they address it, right? You know, like, hey, here's what we're going to do for your nutrition. Hey, here's what you're going to do for exercise. You're going to come see us and I want you to do an hour of cardio 3 days a week. And you're going to plug it in here. And all that's great. But what happens when that falls apart, right? Because we firmly believe, and the number one thing we try to sell to clients is we believe in consistency, right? Like, people need to be able to do what they're doing over a period of time, and not days or weeks, but it needs to be something that's sustainable. And sustainable in particular, when, to your point, what about the day that you don't want to cut the pepper? What happens? You know, is it then I go to the, you know, bag of pretzels or the chips in the cabinet or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, the pantry's raided and I've gone not only through the chips but the pretzels also, and come to find out we had some, you know, whatever, donuts left in there, and man, I wanted one, but then once I had one it turned into two, and then you're like, oh, if I ate two I might as well like eat the whole bag. And then the next day you wake up and you're like, oh God, I'm so disappointed in myself, right? And there's all this self-regret and everything else. And it just, it keeps compounding. So, you know, we started to figure out that if we could find a way to start inching people in the right direction and focus more on the action-based pieces versus the outcome-based pieces, that we started to have a lot more success. And in particular with the people who had struggled trying to, I don't want to say make fitness their entire life, right? But most people want health and fitness to be like a part of it. They don't want it to define them and have their whole world revolve around it. Myself included, people think I work out 8 hours a day. And I'm like, I get the leftovers. I don't know what to tell you. I'm doing it for you. And I get left with whatever is kind of there as well. So believe me, I am practicing what I preach from that standpoint.
That's so great to hear. With that, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm Tawny Alvarez from Verrill, your host, and I'm talking to Shelby Turcott, owner and trainer at Shelby Trained. Today, we're discussing how we can help employees meet health-related New Year's resolutions. Prior to the break, we began a discussion regarding Shelby Trained's implementation system. Within that system, Shelby, there's something that you've referred to in literature known as the Uber effect. How does that concept play a role into this implementation system?
To go back to the, you know, personalization piece we talked about, you know, there's so many commonalities amongst people in general, right? Trying to get healthier, get more fit or whatnot, in terms of, you know, time and stress and everything else. But we started to realize at the same time that each individual's lives were a little bit different, right? So I can say one thing to you, your work life, day life, home life, maybe a little bit different than somebody else, maybe a little bit different than somebody else. And so there was overlap, but it was more like it was, you know, predictable in terms of kind of keeping people within certain guardrails and kind of guidelines versus saying, okay, Tawny, here is what I would like you to do. I want you to buy the baby carrots and I want you to buy the pre-cut peppers. And somebody else may struggle with water, right? So we may be like, hey, maybe you're fine with water at home, but somebody else is like, I only like flavored water. And so we're trying to figure out how to navigate that. You know, water is boring. So we started to realize that we needed to figure out where people were in terms of, you know, where their successes were, what they struggled with, and then how we could basically take them from point A to point B. So we started terming it, you know, the Uber effect. Essentially, we try to meet people where they are and then take them to where they want to go. And so it was like next level from a personalization standpoint, where we first took a look at their lives. We have people journal. We have people kind of keep track of things. And then we follow our recipe, for lack of a better term, I'm trying to kind of bring them through the system, and it allows for individualizing or customizing each little piece depending on where people are at. So unlike a lot of things where you kind of lose people as you go, we were able to kind of adapt and adjust in terms of, you know, moving people along kind of the system, so to speak, and take them ultimately again to, you know, point B, point C, point D, wherever it is that they may want to go, in full well knowing that goals oftentimes change along the way, right? I think that's one of those things that you start to learn, is that building that foundation allows ultimately for long-term success.
That is so cool, because I think one of the things that really plays to is something, and I want to discuss it more later, but this could work for anyone, because it's not, hey, if you're not here, hey, if you can't already run a mile, then go see someone else because I'm not your person. But really, it's made for anyone.
Yeah.
And in getting to that, I mean, let's get into the system itself. I mean, there's these seven elements. The first one, and you've kind of already touched on it, is the concept of physical activity. And most listeners, I'm sure, are not surprised to hear that. But when you and I have discussed the system, one of the things that I got really excited about was something that you call active enjoyment. Can you discuss for listeners how physical activity and specifically active enjoyment relates to that supplementation system?
I think, to your point, one, as we mentioned, people just don't move enough, right? Plain and simple. And part of that is because people are so crunched on time. You know, there have been studies that show as much as like, you know, 40-50% of people that don't exercise believe it is a time-based thing. And so if we can get people again to move more, and it's kind of the icing on the cake, but again, in general, move more without actually realizing that they're being more active, it's a win-win. And on top of that, if you can get to do something that is active that they actually enjoy, whether it be with family, friends, or whatever it is, you know, that's like a double or triple bonus in terms of, you know, the positivity, especially nowadays with, you know, current situation. But in general, like there's the, you know, the social component and communication component and all these other pieces that kind of come into play. So we try to find a way to use the kind of structured exercise to drive the activity outside of a normal weight room. And so we look at the weight room or the more structured based stuff, the quote unquote workouts, to make you functional enough, give you enough confidence, give you enough strength, give you enough conditioning to then go out and swim, to go out and ski, to go out and play with your kids in the yard, those types of things. And so it's a big, you know, reciprocal relationship where the training, the kind of structured piece, drives the recreational activity. And the recreational activity builds the confidence, which drives you back in to keep doing it, right? So, you know, we firmly believe that if we can get people moving, feeling better a little, at least in terms of functioning, then they are also more likely to go out and again, ski, snowshoe, cross-country ski, play in the yard, go swimming with their kids, go out and walk the dog, right? Like all of these different things that they may do that are activity-based that a lot of times kind of sort of get pushed back because they're like, you know, oh, I can't do that. My back hurts. Oh, I can't do this. My knees hurt. Oh, I can't get, you know, do this. I'm too out of shape. I'm too heavy, whatever it may be. And so we're kind of trying to drive that from both sides where we're trying to encourage people to get out and do things. You and I chatted before about like, you know, the hike we did with some of our clients a little bit ago, obviously where we were a little bit limited of normally kind of seeing our clients in a similar fashion. And we are trying to find ways from a community standpoint to get people out and again, practice what we preach in terms of, you know, getting out and moving and doing something that is enjoyable, because obviously if you enjoy it, you are a whole lot more likely to adhere to it. And again, we believe in adherence.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, you mentioned another key word too, I think, which is community. And at a time in which I think a lot of people are trying to figure out a way to safely have a community, kind of those hiking and those type of activities where you're doing two things at once, which everyone, you know, is always looking to accomplish multiple things at the same time. But having that community and being active and building confidence, I think right now, even more than ever, is so important.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm guessing at this point in time, we have a lot of listeners who, while they're engaged and are thinking about how great a program like this would be for themselves, they're also wondering, how does this specifically relate to human resources, Tawny? Are you going to tie it all together? So $1 million question, Shelby. I mean, does Shelby Trained as an organization work with employers and provide these types of services as a benefit to employees or help employers institute something like this? Or is this a, hey, have your employees call me and we can talk?
Great question. Could be either direction, depending on what somebody wants to do. From the personalization standpoint, we are trying to find a solution for people, whether the client be, you know, a one-on-one person that reaches out with us, or realistically, one thing we've started to focus on a lot more is going directly to, you know, businesses, you know, working with HR and working with, you know, health and wellness directors and things of that nature to try to find a way to employ our Simplementation system to try to help work directly with, you know, their workers. Again, especially nowadays, I think more so than ever, with people being at home, with people having limited equipment, people having limited access to gyms and facilities, and you start talking about, you know, everything from the health and wellness side of just being less active to people, you know, eating not ideal, let's just say. And, you know, then on top of that, you throw in the situation of, you know, stress, an ever-changing, you know, work life / home life. Sometimes people have kids at home and you're trying to navigate it. Sometimes people are working from home. Sometimes people are navigating a little bit of both. And it's the perfect time for a system like this, I believe, to thrive, because I think we cover so many of those components that people have often struggled with, including the remote component, right? Like that's what we've really focused on in the last year or two, is trying to kind of build the infrastructure to deliver, you know, a resource that allows, from our standpoint, allows clients to be able to improve their health, their wellness and whatnot. And with a variety, again, of challenges. So we've really focused, in particular, the last 6 months or so on setting ourselves up to be able to help businesses, HR departments and whatnot, leadership teams, to be able to kind of roll this out with their workers to try to help them during this obviously challenging time and progressively moving forward.
I think those are such important points. I mean, we're over 9 months into this pandemic. People have been working from home, some for that full 9 months, some maybe going into the office, some may have been working through this whole entire thing. But with all of those different scenarios comes a host of different stressors and issues. And one of the things that's captivated me about Shelby Trained and your model is that Uber effect, that you're going to meet people where they're at and what their needs are. So it may be that you have people who were extremely athletic and active even prior to the pandemic and remain so, but their stressors are coming in different ways and their health and well-being is suffering in other ways. So one of the things I think is so great is that Uber effect, the fact that it's going to be crafted for what your employees need, what you need, what your employees need. And maybe it's just a subsection of the population. Maybe you're looking at your senior managers and saying healthier managers are going to create more engaged managers are happier managers. Happier managers mean happy employees. You know, to me, the waterfall effect of this just has so much possibility.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the HR Power Hour radio show, and I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez. And today we're talking to Shelby Turcotte, owner and trainer at Shelby Trained. Today, we're discussing how we can help employees meet health-related New Year's resolutions. You know, Shelby, we've talked about that first element of the supplementation system and how the program itself is different from maybe other fitness apps or fitness programs generally. Let's jump into the second element of it. Actually, second and third. Let's talk about hydration and nutrition. How's that different from maybe other programs that we might see?
Yeah. So again, you know, back to maybe one of the original topics is we started to find so many people who had seen more traditional based nutrition kind of approaches with maybe a nutritionist, with a dietitian. A lot of it stemmed off of trying to give people, you know, foods to eat, meal templates, things of that nature, right?
Stop eating pasta.
Right. Oh, you need to eat more vegetables. Oh, great. Genius idea. So instead of focusing on that, and believe me, we had tried that and it shows some short-term success. But again, we want people to be raving fans, you know, not a month down the road, but a year down the road, 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road. And we always tell people we want to, you know, help them improve their health and do it once and then be able to give them kind of the system or the tools to keep it off. And it's not that you don't, you know, go back and kind of tune it up a little bit like a car here and there. It's based off of kind of framework that allows you to put in what works for you, right? So we had talked early kind of about, you know, meeting people's individual needs. And so from a nutrition standpoint, I looked at it a lot like a Venn diagram, right? And so we would have people eat a whole host of different ways, everything from people who were vegan to people who ate more of a traditional American diet to people who ate paleo to, you know, and you name it. So we started trying to find where the overlap was, right? Like what are the commonalities amongst these people and what kind of drives those components? Because I don't want to go up to somebody who is vegan and try to convince them maybe for moral or ethical or otherwise reasons that, hey, guess what? I think the carnivore diet is the best thing. And they're like, oh, that's great. I don't eat meat. Then we can't help them, right? So we've already lost them. And by the same token, I don't want to go to a carnivore person and be like, hey, you should really go vegan. Vegetables are really good for you and whatever. Meat products aren't. So we started to try to settle on, okay, let's meet people where they are. And let's start to try to figure out where the overlap is, you know, what can we do and what can we teach that kind of covers all those components. And so we did that from the nutrition standpoint. And that allows us to kind of individualize and customize, whether it's food-based choices or whether it's number of times somebody wants to eat over the course of the day, right? And a lot of discussion recently about intermittent fasting. Should I do it? I don't really care. If it fits your normal lifestyle and you want to do it, cool. It works. It works fine. If you want to eat seven times a day, you can eat seven times a day. So we started really to try to figure out, again, all of those different components. And we did it from the nutrition standpoint. And we tried to do the same thing from a hydration standpoint, realizing, at least from our perspective, that those two things kind of start to, in addition with the exercise, start to drive people's kind of momentum, right? So you get people moving more, they feel better, they have more confidence. When they feel better and have more confidence, they tend to eat better. If they're exercising more, they tend to drink more fluids and so on and so forth. And then they get more active because they have more energy and things start to build off of that. So same idea. We, again, tried to figure out like where we could cross over, you know, and not lose people because we figured that every client that we lost, we weren't going to be able to help. And we wanted to find a way that we could not lose people and try to at least move them in the direction of their goals, you know, not based off of our own personal preferences.
Well, I definitely have some follow-up questions to that. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish that!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm Tani Alvarez from Verrill, your host, and today we're talking to Shelby Turcotte, owner and trainer at Shelby Trained. Today we're discussing how we can help employees meet health-related New Year's resolutions. And specifically, we've been talking about Shelby Train's supplementation system. And prior to the break, we were discussing generally hydration and nutrition and the role that both of those things play in the system itself and healthy lifestyle. And I had to laugh. And for those of you, you know, if this was a television show and not a radio show, you would have been laughing, because Shelby was mentioning some people who are intermittent fasting and some people are eating eight times a day. And I promise over the course of the last 5 years, I have tried both of those things and, you know, heard all of the background about why intermittent fasting is better or why I should be eating smaller meals all day long, which then just leads me to eat closer to like 24 meals a day as opposed to 7 meals a day. But I think one of the really cool things that I hope is getting through to our listeners is like, it sounds like you've heard all of these things, and instead of you dictating to me what works best for me, that I get a say in maybe what's happening in my life. And in the same vein, I mean, when we started this show and I said, tell us a little bit about yourself, you mentioned you were a coffee addict. So many times I've done some type of lifestyle change, not a diet. And, you know, you're either putting aside points or calories for that coffee in the morning. I mean, as a coffee addict, it sounds like you're going to meet me at my addiction, at least from that point. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, I think fitness and health, right, is this huge pendulum, right? It swings from side to side. Most of the time, it truly settles in the middle. The problem is, while it's settling in the middle, there's something else pushing it to try to swing to the other side. So people get really wrapped up in usually poor research, but research and or information that comes to mainstream media to sell articles and whatnot. And they shift their entire lifestyle or try to jump on what they believe may be the magic bullet, right? And you are no different than most people who struggle in the sense that you're thinking, well, maybe this is it. This is what I was not doing before, right? I was doing the wrong type of workout. I needed to do more interval training, or I needed to do more long, slow distance, or whatever it was. I needed to spin, right? Mom, my friend Susie, she spins and she loves it and she's super fit. That's great for Susie.
Let me spend $2,500 on a Peloton, because right, that's gonna fix whatever my right issue is.
Right. And so we really tried to figure out, again, like how we could meet people and not just pull them away from things that they may want, i.e. coffee, wine, things like that, right? That people give up, and they're great if you want to do it. If you're using all of your bandwidth and you think that the reason you are overweight and unhealthy is because you're consuming coffee, you know, I would politely remind you that one, coffee in general, depending on what you get, frappuccinos don't count. Coffee in general is incredibly low calorie, like 5 calories a cup, just black coffee. Two, the probably the biggest argument, you know, against coffee would be the caffeine content, which is very much, again, individualized, like somebody's tolerance levels are going to be there to their ability. So if you don't tolerate it well, don't drink coffee or drink decaf or, you know, half and half or something like that. And there's a lot of research recently, in particular, in the last like 3 to 5 years, looking at actually much larger quantities of coffee, actually having every type of disease and cancer preventing quality. You could make a very good argument for consuming more coffee actually is healthier versus less. And I mean, I'm a coffee person, and in excess, basically, some of the studies show that even for me on the spectrum, it's a ton of coffee. So the point is, we, again, yeah, to what you said, we try to figure out where people are, what they want to give up, the pros and cons of doing it, right? If you, you know, really like eating dessert, great. Dessert, unfortunately, super high in calories, typically high in sugar, typically high in fat. Fantastic. We can keep dessert. Maybe it's not every day. Maybe the quantities are smaller. Maybe, you know, we work on trying to figure out how we keep it in so that they're not giving it up. I think the minute you start to deprive people of it, you start to realize that people are very resistant and they can do it short term. But again, long-term adherence to something like that just isn't great. You know, nobody was obese because they drank a Diet Coke every once in a while. Nobody was obese because of, you know, having dessert at Thanksgiving, things like that. And so we work to try to figure out, and again, break the patterns and change the habits of what they're trying to do, and get them to realize that, look, you know, all these things you like doing and like enjoying and going to friends' houses and being able to eat and figuring out a way to navigate that is okay. And you don't have to do intermittent fasting and skip the whole meal and be like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't eat that. I'm in my window right now where I'm fasting. That you can find a way to have a balance of those things. And at the same time, it's not just, as people used to think, it's not just moderation, meaning you can eat whatever you want in moderation. That is exactly the opposite of what we're saying. What we try to do is try to figure out, you know, a little bit of a give and a take in terms of the entire system. Again, everything from physical activity to hydration to nutrition to stress management to sleep. We try to pull in all these different pieces and kind of work that and kind of massage that system to work for them so that they can still enjoy life and feel like they're somewhat normal and kind of slide along the spectrum as they need to, as things evolve for them.
So you just mentioned sleep, and sleep is going to be our fourth element. And then the fifth element is reduction of stress and or relationship with stress. And I think we could probably spend hours talking about just those two. So I want to actually skip to something that really pops out to me, and that's element six of the system, and something that you call focused recovery. What's focused recovery specifically?
Yeah, so focused recovery is really kind of our approach of getting the body back to, I don't want to say homeostasis, but kind of back to like a baseline, so to speak. You know, as people become more active and there's more stress in general, right? Sometimes it's environmental stress. Sometimes it's systemic stress from exercise or whatnot. Sometimes it's a combination of both. You know, recovery, which again is kind of all encompassing, we believe people need to get to a point where they kind of become a little bit more centered. And so focused recovery is anything that people do that is done with intent to drive a recovery response, right? To drive some type of a response to the body and or the mind to get it back to that baseline. And that could be anything from a simple 5 to 10 breath diaphragmatic breathing type of exercise to a 2 or a 3 minute app, doing some type of like mind body connection, to doing something like yoga, to even doing things that are more physical based, like ice baths, right? Or we call them a lot of times with like athletes or people who are really active, we'll do things like kind of recovery rides or like flush rides on like a bike, which is like really easy. And again, it depends on what it is. Like we might use walking as a focused recovery for somebody who is really sore from exercise. And we might use walking for a fitness component for somebody who is less in shape. And so it's kind of figuring out where those pieces come together, you know, and what it is that kind of fits into their life. Because as we keep saying, I'm going to sound like a broken record, you're going to be able to shrink this whole podcast, Tawny, to like 2 minutes. It really depends on the person and it depends on what we are trying to do and kind of how it fits in. One thing we love that we've been trying to do more and more of is have people do more diaphragmatic breathing in the last handful of years. Why? It's good from a physical standpoint for like the function of their trunk and their core and posture and everything else. It's good from a breathing standpoint in terms of it's a really a breathing muscle. At the same time, it slows people down. Right? Somebody sitting down, taking 5 to 10 deep breaths essentially slows them down. And sometimes, especially if you're really active, slowing down can be a good thing to start that kind of recovery response. And it's okay to not be operating at 200 miles an hour all day long.
And with that, as we're going into our focused recovery or our not traveling at 200 miles all day long, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a really quick break. You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm Tawny Alvarez from Verrill, your host, and I'm talking to Shelby Turcotte, owner and trainer at Shelby Trained. Today, we're discussing how we can help employees meet health-related New Year's resolutions. So, Shelby, we have gone through the first 6 elements of this implementation system, but the final element is coaching. And I mean, our listeners now with hope, if they've heard the whole show, can hear kind of in your voice how passionate you are about what you do and this program itself. But tell our listeners a little bit, like, why do you enjoy coaching? Why are you so passionate about something like this?
I think a lot of it goes back to starting in sports, right? Like you start to learn that communication, verbal, physical, you know, all of those different things start to kind of come to fruition and you realize the impact that it can have on people, you know, not just in the moment in terms of something, but realistically like long-term. And so having that impact. And as I got into the field and started doing the hands-on stuff myself, you started to realize, I always joke with people when they come, with trainers, when they come in either shadow or intern or, you know, people start working for us that I'm like, you know, unlike the movies where there's like streamers going off and all this, when like great things happen and you change somebody's life, it's more like, it's like a Tuesday, it's like 10:22 in the morning. And they tell you like, you know, how great they're feeling or how, what they were able to do and things like that. And, you know, really realizing that those are those movie moments. And the more you can have those kind of interactions with people, you start to realize the impact that you are having from a longevity and realistically a quality of life. You know, we don't sell people on the fact that, wow, we're going to add 50 years to your life by exercising with us, even though you're going to exercise 51 to get there. We tell people we want to improve the quality of your life and we want you to enjoy life and try to maximize what you are trying to do. And in order to get to that point, we believe that we can help facilitate that change and teach you to effectively believe in yourself, right? And teach yourself that you are more than you maybe thought possible beforehand. And then it's our job to kind of bring that out. And that's from a physical and an emotional and a psychological standpoint to lead and ultimately create the life that you want.
I think it's so important too, that I think there is definitely going to be a whole host of moments in which individuals don't realize the impact something's had. I mean, I had a coach for years who would blow the whistle every time I would dribble the ball once and pick it up. And the coach would blow the whistle and say, like, what was the purpose? You just wasted your dribble. You're now stuck. You can only shoot or pass. You took away one whole element of the game. Move with a purpose. And it's interesting because the concept of moving with a purpose just stuck. Like, what was the purpose of the change that I just made? Or did I just get rid of, you know, one of my options in that movement? So in people looking or thinking about, hey, this is something I want to do, or I want to think more about, are there questions that they should be asking trainers in this process or when they meet them initially to find out, is this person going to work with what I'm looking for?
I think probably the biggest thing, at least in terms of what we believe in, is, you know, it's a lot easier on our end to have a very much of a cookie cutter kind of approach. You know, I think you want to try to find a coach that you believe in what they're selling or what they're teaching, and that it's based around you and not them. You know, I have always believed that in everything from my playing days to coaching sports to, you know, coaching people in terms of the weight room and health and wellness and all that stuff, that we really are trying to get to that person for their sake, right? How I convey something to one person is different than somebody else. So I think you need to ask is, you know, is this person supporting what I really believe in, right? Like, why am I showing up and do they believe in that themselves? Or are they just saying it? And the second thing I think, which is probably really important, is making sure that you find somebody you are comfortable with from a support system standpoint, right? Because there are always hiccups in the road. I wish I could say it was smooth sailing and a linear curve and it's just nothing but going up, up, up. But effectively success, you know, like those charts show online, is a whole lot of up and down and you just try to find the right trajectory. And so you want to find somebody who you can kind of lean on, have that support system, knows how to navigate it. I always tell people you don't want somebody that's going to overreact emotionally one way or another as well either. You want them to make intelligent, you know, evidence-based, but kind of a little bit art-driven to put that into your life and figure out, you know, how it works for you.
Shelby, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your information and knowledge with our listeners. I really appreciate it.
Love it. Had a blast.
You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next week.
Thank you everyone for listening and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.